The United States Senate unanimously passed a bill on Hong Kong Tuesday. It's a sign of support for the pro-democracy protesters after months of unrest. It still needs to go back to the House of Representatives, but if it becomes law, it would punish officials who commit human rights violations in the city and bring Hong Kong's special status with the U.S. under an annual review.
In the battle for the biggest orders, it was first strike to Airbus at the Dubai Air Show on Monday. Ahmed bin Said Al Maktoum is CEO of host airlines Emirates. Emirates had been keeping around $30 billion of Airbus and Boeing orders on ice amid complaints over manufacturing delays and performance issues. It expects delivery of a first batch of this A350 order in May 2023.
Downbeat earnings forecasts from big retailers sent the Dow and S&P 500 lower Tuesday. They raised investor concerns about the consumer's ability to keep supporting the U.S. economy. But a tech stock rally led by Broadcom and Facebook lifted the NASDAQ. The heaviest drag on the Dow and S&P, Home Depot. The home improvement retailer cut its sales forecast for the full year for the second time this year. Its online initiatives aren't delivering results as fast as the company had expected.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It is November 20th, and it's 5:09 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell. We've got another business day underway here and a lot going on in the world of business. We'll check some of the markets here for you momentarily. We're seeing a lot of red on the screens this morning. And we'll also keep you posted on the latest news, weather, sports, and traffic as we move through the hour as well. On the program today, Catherine Cullen will be here. She's a Senior Director of Industry and Consumer Insight at the National Retail Federation. We'll talk a little bit about Thanksgiving shopping. Some numbers are in on the projections for people planning to hit the stores hit online stores and shop till they drop over the Thanksgiving holiday. That'll be coming up at about 5:18 this morning. A little bit later in the program, we'll focus in on why wages aren't growing faster in the United States. We've had some growth, but it's been generally weak. Frank Steemers will be here from the Conference Board, where he is an associate economist. That'll be at about 5:48 this morning. Of course, we'll check in with Orion Samuelson this morning on ag as well at about 5:38. A couple of other things for you as well this morning here on The Opening Bell. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. As futures point toward opening losses on Wall Street this morning, Dow futures are off triple digits, off more than 100 points, nearly a third. Some new concern about trade. We'll get to that in a minute. S&P 500 futures off nearly a third, too. NASDAQ futures off almost a half a percent now. As we look around the globe, lots of red on the screen in Europe. The market day fully underway there. In London, down by nearly 100 points on the FTSE, off a percent and a quarter. In Germany, off nearly a percent. The DAX is down 119 points. In France, off nearly 40 points, more than a half a percent. In Asia, the trading day ending with the Nikkei down 144 points, off nearly a half a percent. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong off nearly 200 points. Down nearly 0.75%, Shanghai off nearly 0.75% as well. Oil is trading lower, higher actually now. It's ticked higher, $55.37 a barrel, up about 16 cents. Crude oil in the U.S. at $55.40 a barrel now. So those are the numbers from around the globe. We begin this morning with a little news on trade. President Trump says there is no deal with China. If there is no deal with China, he will raise tariffs even higher. Before yesterday's cabinet meeting, the president said he's very happy with where things are with trade talks with China. He said the deal would have to be one that he likes. He said that the country's China is paying billions of dollars in tariffs, claiming it is them paying, not U.S. consumers. Economists say that is not the case, though. Mostly those are paid by U.S. consumers. It is a very odd thing to say if talks are going well, that more tariffs will be in place and higher tariffs will be in place. Some news about Chicago Boeing this morning, going to fix thousands of its 737NG planes over last year's deadly accident in which an engine fan blade broke and hit the side of the jet. One person died on Southwest Airlines that flight in April of 2018. The National Transportation Safety Board recommended Boeing fix the issue on nearly 7,000 737NG planes around the world. The company says it is making changes to address the issue. The 737 NG is not affected by the worldwide grounding of the 737 MAX plane over two deadly crashes. The merger of Gannett and a new media investment group is finalized with top executives in place. The merger of USA Today publisher Gannett and New Media creates the biggest print circulation media company in the country. The new Gannett controls more than 250 daily papers. They include the Detroit Free Press, the Columbus Dispatch, the Arizona Republic, and the Austin American Statesman, along with hundreds of weekly publications. The Washington, D.C. Attorney General is suing DoorDash. The Attorney General there says the state is looking to recover millions of dollars in tips from the company over a model that it has deemed deceptive, as customers didn't have a clear understanding to where their money was going. The AG there accuses the company of pocketing tips meant for workers and says his office has launched an investigation that has found DoorDash used tips to offset the company's payments to workers. DoorDash has responded to the lawsuit, saying transparency is of paramount importance, which is why the company publicly discloses how the previous pay model worked. DoorDash also says it's worked with an independent third party to ensure all tips are paid to workers, and they believe the accusations have no factual basis. This morning, we're going to change directions now, focusing in on the business of shopping. And a lot of folks are going to hit the stores and hit their list, their Christmas list for Thanksgiving. They'll be out shopping on Thanksgiving. Joining us this morning to talk a little bit about it, Catherine Cullen, Senior Director of Industry and Consumer Insights at the National Retail Federation. Catherine, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I hope you're doing well as well.
Yes, I am.
So Thanksgiving, I know Black Friday's a big day, but it's a long weekend, and a lot of people are going to be shopping.
That's correct. According to our latest forecast, we're expecting more than 165 million consumers to come out and shop between Thanksgiving Day and Cyber Monday, and that's all types of shopping, in-store, on your phones, online. Consumers are looking forward to the sales and promotions and looking forward to the tradition of shopping that weekend.
So how does that rank, or how does that compare to years past?
It's very much in line with what we saw last year. It's actually a little higher than last year, which signals that consumers still really like this weekend to us. You know, Thanksgiving comes a little later in the calendar this year. Consumers may have already gotten a start on their holiday shopping, but they're still looking forward to Thanksgiving weekend, again, to find some great deals or to spend some time out shopping with friends and family.
Yeah, I'm looking at the graph of the shopping trends, the forecast, and Thanksgiving is a pretty big day. I know some stores are going to be open on Thanksgiving, but it looks like Black Friday and Saturday are going to be the top days, and Cyber Monday.
Correct. So Black Friday is still the hallmark day for the weekend. More than 114 million consumers planning to come out and shop that day. Again, both online and in stores. We're actually seeing more people planning to start shopping on Thanksgiving Day itself than we saw last year. I don't know if it's people are comfortable shopping from their phones at home or if they're heading out to the stores, but people are looking to get a head start on the weekend on Thanksgiving Day. And then, as you mentioned, Cyber Monday, the next biggest day, people excited to get some great deals on items that they've had on their Christmas shopping list.
I'm very interested in some of the questions that have been posed to consumers about why they do the shopping that they do, especially on this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about those. When you ask shoppers why they're out shopping on Thanksgiving weekend and Black Friday, what are the top answers that they give you?
Reason is definitely deals and promotion. So consumers know that it's a great time to find sales. They know retailers will be offering deals on items that they really want, top toys, top electronics, things like that. They could stock up on things not just for the holidays, but also items they might use throughout the year. But after that, it's still a tradition for a lot of folks. It's something, again, they can do over the weekend, and it's a social activity. Interesting to us was how much young people under the age of 25, these younger shoppers, really look at this as a social activity. They are more likely than other age groups to say, Thanksgiving's a time I get together with my family, with my friends, and we go out and shop together to have fun.
Yeah, it feels like the tradition and that part of the story kind of go hand in hand, because I know there are families that this is a deal for them. They have their Thanksgiving dinner. Some of them do it on Thanksgiving Day, but definitely plans are being made for Black Friday, and that's the tradition for a lot of families every year.
Absolutely, and that's something that doesn't seem to be changing or going away. It's still, again, this is a holiday weekend, so people are spending time together with loved ones, definitely shopping, but there's that extra aspect of the family or friends and something that they do together as a tradition.
Catherine, I'm interested, too, in another number here, another statistic from the recent survey, and that is for consumers who don't plan to shop, it looks like they could be easily convinced to spend money on Thanksgiving weekend.
You're absolutely right. For consumers who say that they aren't planning to shop Thanksgiving weekend, you know, whether they just don't like to shop that weekend or they think it's too crowded, most of them said that they could be convinced by something, definitely in a sale on an item that they're looking for. So we see this every year. Retailers, you know, I know sales and promotions have started a bit early this year, but we suspect we'll be seeing some fresh deals over Thanksgiving weekend, and that could definitely entice consumers. If something they really want is on a great sale at a great value to them, they say we'll go out and shop.
We often hear that the Thanksgiving weekend, including Black Friday, is a do-or-die moment a few days for retail. Is that still the case?
It's definitely a very important weekend for retailers and for consumers, but the holiday calendar has been stretching out. We know that many major retailers actually started their sales and promotions in early November, if some cases before Halloween. Consumers are, you know, getting a great start on their lists and out shopping. So it's really the whole season that we're looking at and that retailers are looking at, because that's how consumers shop today.
Do you have any advice for people who are listening right now who are thinking about doing the shopping, whether it's on Black Friday or Cyber Monday? Are there any strategies for not only getting trampled in a store, but also to find the best deals?
What we tell people, it's pretty straightforward, pretty common sense. You know what you're looking for going into the weekend. Definitely there will be deals on items that surprise you, or you know, you might want to pick up last minute. But if you have an idea of what you're really looking for, whether it's the type of television you really want with all the features you want, or a special toy that you're hunting for, know what that is, so that when you see it at a price you're comfortable with, you can act on it before it sells out, or before things get crowded and you want to go home and rest.
Is there any indication that, and I know we've been covering this a lot, the trade war with China. We touched briefly on yesterday the fact that some stores have been able to eat some of these tariffs and not pass them on to consumers. Is there any indication that any of the trade war stuff is having an impact on holiday shopping yet?
We're still keeping a close eye on that. We know it's something that's very top of mind for retailers, and actually consumers are getting concerned about it as well. You know, it definitely went into some tariffs have already gone into effect that impact holiday items around electronics and certain things like that, and more set to go into effect in December. As of now, you know, we have seen some small businesses have had to raise prices, which is, you know, definitely concerning for them. But overall, consumers and retailers seem, you know, prepared for this holiday season. They seem, you know, ready to adjust those prices or, you know, offer deals to kind of offset it. So at this moment, we're not concerned about it, but it's definitely something we are keeping a close eye on, along with the retailers we represent.
Something else, every year I hear that Cyber Monday is gaining on Black Friday, and that eventually Cyber Monday will be the bigger of the 2 days. Is that something real? Is that really going to happen in your eyes?
Actually, the data tells a very different story. This year, we actually saw a decline in the number of people planning to shop on Cyber Monday itself. About 7 million fewer consumers said that that was one of the days they were expecting to shop. Instead, as I mentioned, it's shifting earlier in the week to Thanksgiving Day, to Black Friday. So consumers know that they're going to find deals all weekend long. It's a 5-day shopping event. It's no longer Monday's no longer that day. You're getting back into the office and you have internet for the first time or high-speed internet for the first time. People are connected all weekend long. So we're seeing that in the data. That said, based on previous years, we know retailers offer, you know, targeted promotions and surprise deals on Monday. So we suspect, you know, consumers who may not have been planning to shop will turn out to shop that day. But again, it's a five-day shopping event, and that's how people are approaching it.
All right. Pace yourself, everyone. Catherine, thank you for being on with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care and happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Catherine Cullen, Senior Director of Industry and Consumer Insights at the National Retail Federation. You can find them online at nrf.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Wednesday edition of The Opening Bell. Some major retail earnings reports out this morning, including Target. Target earnings and sales trouncing analyst estimates, marking a bright spot in retail after weak reports from department store chains JCPenney's and Kohl's earlier in the week. The big box retailer also raised its profit outlook for the full year ahead of all-important holiday shopping season. Shares of Target surging more than 7% in after-hours trading. Over at Lowe's, the company reporting quarterly earnings that beat analyst expectations, even though they missed on revenue. Lowe's has also raised its forecast for the year. Shares of Lowe's up about 5% in pre-market trading. The company is reporting, though, that it will close 34 stores in Canada under the Lowe's banner and under another banner as well. So more news about Boeing this morning. Dubai's flagship carrier Emirates Airlines has finalized a deal to purchase 30 of Boeing 787-9 Dreamliner jets. The deal sets up for a reduction to a prior commitment of 777s from Boeing down by 30 to 126, which Emirates is opting for by employing its substitution rights. The 777 program has faced delays due to engine problems and other technical issues in its testing phase. The mid-sized 787-9 jet is a little bit larger, has a longer range than the 777, seating about 242 to 330 passengers. The order valued about $8.8 billion for the Boeing company. Let's get an update now on agribusiness, and here's Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Steve, and good morning. As we take a look at grain trade at the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, wheat futures hit their highest in nearly a week. Declining wheat condition ratings in the United States and concerns about crop prospects in the Southern Hemisphere. Wheat posted the biggest advance after USDA late Monday rated 52% of the U.S. winter wheat crop good to excellent, but that was down 2 percentage points from the previous week. So at the end of the trading day yesterday, December wheat was up 4.25 cents a bushel, December corn up 2.25, and no, January soybeans gained just 1.25 cents. Livestock trade, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, a red screen there for the most part yesterday. February lean hogs down 47 cents a hundredweight. The February live cattle down 12 cents a hundredweight. And the January feeder cattle contract ended the day down 27 cents a hundredweight. Something else that could impact market prices here in the U.S., the fact that thousands of workers at Canada's largest railroad went on strike for the first time in a decade yesterday. About 3,000 unionized workers, including conductors and yardmen from the Canadian National Railway Company, hit picket lines, and they continued their talks, but they didn't reach any agreement. And of course, Canada uses rail to ship a lot of canola, wheat, and other commodities over the distances from the western farm prairies to the shipping ports. That's AgBiz for this morning. Have a great day. Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You too. Amazon says it has considered adding facial recognition technology to its Ring doorbell cameras. The company telling Congress that its facial recognition system is contemplated, but unreleased feature of its new home security cameras hasn't been put in play yet. And this all came up as the U.S. Senator Ed Markey questioned Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos back in September, asking about privacy and civil liberty concerns regarding Ring's video sharing partnership with hundreds of police departments across the country. Massachusetts Democrat also expressed alarm that Ring may be pursuing face scanning technology that could flag certain people as suspicious. Markey released Amazon's latest response yesterday. Amazon's initial response to Markey said Ring doesn't currently offer facial recognition, but in a follow-up, Amazon said it frequently innovates based on customer demand, and facial recognition is an increasingly common feature in cameras made by competitors such as Google's. Let's turn our attention now to wages in the United States. Some new research shedding some light on weak wage growth here in the U.S. Joining us this morning is Frank Steemers, associate economist at the Conference Board. The Conference Board, a global independent business membership and research association. Frank, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on your show.
I want to set the table for our listeners to give them an idea of what we'll be talking about this morning. I know they've probably heard us talking about wage growth in our coverage of the jobs reports that come out in the economy. Give us a sense right now of where we're at on wages and where you think it probably should be.
So I think if we look at the labor market, and probably you have also been discussing this already in earlier segments, we see that the labor market over the last 10 years has become increasingly tight. And with that, I mean, we have an unemployment rate that is now much lower than it was just after the Great Recession. Now, if you look then at wage growth, still it is accelerating, but if you compare it to previous decades, you can still say it is not as high as it used to be. So this is an ongoing debate among economists to understand what is explaining this. And I think we have in this study also looked at a few reasons what could explain this average wage growth is not that fast yet.
Yeah, and I want to dive into that now. Some good thinking here about why this is, a couple of potential reasons. What would be the main reason? What would be the first finding from this research?
So from our research, what we find is that if you actually look at wage growth, not for the entire country, but you look at those workers that are switching jobs and at those workers that are staying at the company. So we call them new hires, job switchers versus existing workers. So what you find there is that actually for existing workers, people who stay at the company, wage growth has been very weak. But if you look at people who have been switching jobs, there we see much stronger wage acceleration.
How much is the weak inflation playing into some of this? And what's the battle here between younger workers and older workers?
Yeah, I think first of all, that's a very good point you're making. When we think about inflation, of course, we know that that a lot of wage increases or annual wage increase that employees are getting are also based on the growth in the cost of living. And we know that inflation in this decade has been much lower than in previous decades. So that is, of course, one reason why wage growth has been slow on average. On your other question, when we look at young workers that are now entering the labor market, they're entering the labor market at a time that the labor market is much more healthy than it was, for example, in 2010. So in, say, in 2010, when you were entering the labor market, it was very easy for employees to find workers because the unemployment rate was so high. So you didn't have a lot of bargaining power. But today, companies have to look to other companies and need to compete for talent. So when you are now entering a company, you can go to several companies, get a lot of job offers, and you can pick the best job offer, and it may very well be that is very dependent on how strong this wage offer is.
Yeah, I've often heard, too, that younger workers are being impacted by not only older workers perhaps staying in the positions longer, But also because of the lack of retirement, or maybe even retirement, has impacted how the companies are paying workers.
Yeah, I think it is an ongoing struggle for companies, because we know that we have, of course, now an aging population, so we have a lot of retiring baby boomers. So the working age population is now growing much slower. So companies need to decide for how long can we hold on to those older workers, because at the same time, those older workers have worked all their life to also just retire at the point that they want to retire. So I think that maybe it's also another reason that for new hires, it is actually easier to get into a company, because many of those people who are now retiring are exiting the labor force.
Right. Talk to us a little bit about what the research shows about how companies spend on recruiting versus retaining existing workers.
Yeah, so I think, and this is actually from another study that we did, what we ask companies about solutions to company challenges they have when they are trying to retain or recruit people, and companies are actually much more focused on recruitment. And I think that this is actually pretty short-sighted, because if you think about retention, you have your existing employee already, probably you're happy with an employee, so if you cannot retain that employee, you're going to lose a lot of experience, you're going to lose a lot of knowledge from that worker, and so in the long run, that may actually be much more expensive than finding a new worker.
Yeah, and that's something now, again, back to the tight jobs market, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation, right?
Sorry? What do you mean?
That if you don't spend on the recruiting part of it, you probably aren't going to get that employee at all. And so you have to really kind of face that question.
Yeah, no. That's a very good point that you're making. As I said earlier, when you now need to recruit people, you need to react to market conditions. And in a tight labor market, it is not anymore that works are competing with each other, but it is companies are competing with each other to find that worker. So you definitely expect that companies need to raise their budgets to get more money available for new hires, because new hires at this point in the economic cycle are just more expensive than economic hires at the start of this economic cycle.
Yeah, and we're also in a position now with so many different pieces of technology and so many websites and tools where we can find out what people are making in jobs, maybe even some of our coworkers or people in competing companies, that this is this is a big part of what we're talking about here. Workers finding out what the salaries are of folks might leave, and that's going to create a turnover problem.
Yeah, no, you're correct on that. I think that there is today much more pay transparency. Also because companies believe that pay should be more transparent, but also because of companies, say, for example, Glassdoor, you can just go online and you can check, okay, what are people earning in my company, and you can even check it for your job title. And, of course, this can create issues of morale, that when you're already for a very long time at your company and you find out that somebody much less experienced, maybe much younger, is maybe earning the same as you do, I would wish good luck to those managers that have to deal with these employees, because it is not easy to explain why this is the case.
Yeah, and then it can also be very expensive then to try to replace somebody after you've brought them on board. Frank, talk to us a little bit about the runway here. We have this jobs market, as we've been talking about, is still pretty hot. Is there a chance that we could see wage growth tick up even higher over the next 6 months to a year, or is it going in the opposite direction?
No, I think when we look at the labor market, we still see that employment is growing pretty fast. We still have a very low unemployment rate. We do see that labor force participation rates are picking up somewhat, but it is still not fast enough for the labor market to become looser. So we will just see that the labor market will continue to tighten, and when the labor market continues to tighten, that means that we also expect that wages will start to accelerate more. So that is also our expectations. And actually, Here, I maybe want to point out from another report, we find that wages are already accelerating when you look at certain groups of occupations. So what we find is that especially for blue-collar workers and manual services workers, wages are rising already much faster than, say, highly educated white-collar workers.
Yeah, it just feels like it's taken a long time to get to this point. Frank, thank you for being on with us this morning and sharing your research and expertise. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Frank Stevens, Associate Economist at the Conference Board, and you can find them online at conference-board.org. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Wednesday, November 20th, the weekly report on mortgage applications is due out. Total applications rose 9.6% last week, lifted by a 13% jump in refinance applications. Also today, the EIA Petroleum Status Report and the minutes of the last Federal Reserve meeting, the FOMC minutes, are out at 1 o'clock Chicago time on the earnings calendar. Lowe's, Target, L Brand, among others, reporting quarterly financial earnings. And just some of the things that could move the markets on Wednesday, November the 20th.